chapter number 20 in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter number 20. We'll begin reading with verse number 1 and read down probably to verse number 7. When you find your place, if you would stand with us, and we'll honor the Bible. 2 Kings, chapter number 20. Now this reading is recorded also in Isaiah chapter number 38. But in 2 Kings chapter number 20, this writing gives it in just a little more detail to help us to understand what went on here in Hezekiah's day. And it said, in those days when Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto the days, unto thy days, 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear Lord, for every blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy. We thank you for the privilege we have to be here this morning. Father, we thank you for your sweet spirit that I feel in my heart today. God, and I thank you for these that are bowed with us. Lord, I'm grateful this morning, God, that you're still on the throne, and Lord, everything is in your control. We pray now that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil and give us power to preach your word with liberty, Lord, we pray. We ask you now to go with us and give us the words that we need to say, Lord. Help us not to be hearers only, but to be doers of your word. We pray now that you'd go with us in what you do here today. We'll be careful to thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is probably one of the most, in parts, the most discouraging story in the Bible. Imagine if this were you. Imagine if this were you. You got news from God to set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. Not many people have that luxury, by the way, to know that when they're going to die. Right. Sometimes I wondered if I would like to know the day that I was going to die, because there'd be some things that I'd probably do and things I wouldn't do. By the time I got there, I'd be so scared to death until I wouldn't know which way to turn. But now this morning, I want to talk to us on the thought from gloom to glory. I want to talk about that thought for just a few minutes this morning. I want you to note in Hezekiah's life today how you find him sick on the bed. He is there because of a boil. That's what he's there for. A boil is a type of an open wound, often referred to as an ulcer, if you'd have it, a type of an ulcer. It's infected now, and it's caused infection to go out through his whole body. Every joint in his body is ravished with pain. According to the Bible, we know that Hezekiah is sick unto death. And from the inside out, he's ravishing with pain. I don't know how long he's been on the bed, but I'll say this morning, that Hezekiah was sick unto death. Now this sickness was not only a sickness of physical, but it was also spiritual. The pain that was here, I was physical and also a spiritual. You find the spiritual aspect, the fact that God sent the preacher into his room and said, set your house in order, you're going to die, not live. And so we know that Hezekiah is battling between the thoughts of staying here and dying, one of the two. And he's contemplating and he's brokenhearted, ravished with pain on the inside and outside. His family is gathered around him. They're watching him. They're looking at him. And they're trying to bring some comfort unto his pain. And I'm sure that there are those nurses around him, people around him trying to secure and to help him in his wound and his boil there. And Hezekiah is in a shape of gloom and doom. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing good about what's happening here in Hezekiah's life right here. The Bible tells us he's in a lot of pain and he's now dying. And he's having to discern, is he right with God or is he not right with God? It's at that time right there that you're challenged, whether you're saved or not saved. I remember what Brother Larry Sprouse told me one time about one of his deacons. He had a wonderful deacon, been in church and served that church for a lot of years, some 40 and 50 years as a deacon, faithful to God, testified of his saving grace, loved God, taught Sunday school. But when he come down to the dying hour, he called Brother Larry over to his house and said, I need to talk to you. He called him over there and he said, Brother Larry, he said, I'm doubting my salvation. It's at that time right there as if you that you want to be sure that when you leave this world, you're saved by grace. I'm going to tell you, it's in the painful. It's in the times of pain. I'm talking about physical pain. It's when you don't feel like you're saved because every part of your body is ravished with pain. You don't feel like worshiping God. You don't feel like getting up and testifying. You don't feel like singing a song for the honor and the glory of God. Fact of the matter is, you just want to curl up, pull the covers over your head, and literally just die right there, whether things are good or bad. But Hezekiah now is at the place where he's sitting there and he's contemplating, is he right with God? Imagine getting the word of that Isaiah the prophet comes into his room and said, Hezekiah, thus saith the word of God, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. Here's what he said. He said, you, I'll be sure that you've got everything in order. Call your family in. Read your will. Tell them what you're going to do. Where are you going to be buried? What preacher you want to have to preach your funeral? What songs you're going to be singing at your funeral? He said, get all this set in order. You're going to die and not live. I know that you're saved, Hezekiah. You're fixing to leave this place. Amen. You're ravished in pain. Turns around, walks out of the room, slams the door behind him, and leaves Hezekiah in a time of gloom in his life. Right there.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Boy, if you hadn't, you're going to.
Yeah, right. Amen.
You're going to. You can write that on the wall. But what really disturbs me when I read this story is the message that Hezekiah got from the preacher. You'd think that this would be a time where the preacher would have walked in Hezekiah's room and seeing his pain, looking at his boil. You know, you can't put no bandage over that about that big of an open wound, and you nurses know what I'm talking about. These things have to heal from the inside out, and that thing's been gapped open and laid open, and it's hurting, and it's infected. Now they didn't have the medicines like we have today in this modern world. And it's laid open, and I'm sure that the stench of the rotten flesh around
looks toward the wall. I wondered when I read this, you'd think about this prayer that Hezekiah prayed. You'd think, now I got to be careful what I say. I'm the king, and these people are hearing what I'm saying, and they know me to a point, but God knows me from the inside out. And so I've thought about, why would he boast about what a great man he was and turn his face toward the wall and weep so?
Yeah.
You know what I believe? I believe there's some sin there that he didn't want to talk about because his family was going to hear it.
Yeah.
At that point now, yeah, his family is going to hear that prayer. Now, I'm not one to want my family. I don't want to talk about my sin.
No.
This is not between me and this need. It wasn't between Hezekiah and his family.
No.
This was between Hezekiah and the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, when pain, physically and spiritually, begins to overtake you, you can get the best preacher in the world to pray over you. But it's God that ultimately has the authority to let you live or die. And he said, Hezekiah, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. And he prays a prayer, first of all, for his family to hear.
Yeah.
The Bible said, he says this, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth. Boy, that's right, Hezekiah. You was a good king. And with a perfect heart, think about that now, he's praying, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And his family looking at him as he begins to pray. But then the Bible said he turns around, and then he doesn't utter anything else, but he weeps profusely towards the wall as if he's repenting of his sin, and he's talking to God.
Amen.
The Bible said when we do not know how to pray, he said the Holy Spirit interprets for us in our heart.
Amen.
And he utters words that we do not and cannot understand.
Amen.
And he takes them before God and he lays it out before God. And the Bible said, I have heard thy prayer and I've seen thy
Amen.
Tears. I'm going to heal thee and add 15 years.
Amen.
I tell you, when we go doing business with God, God will get the job done.
Amen.
Now he's starting to pick up. The Bible said now, all this was going on, by the way, while the preacher was in the courtyard.
Right.
The preacher no more slammed the door and then walked out in the courtyard till God said, how many times have you ever had a prayer answered that quick?
Yeah.
That's the fastest prayer answered I've ever known of. The Bible said the preacher never got out of the courtroom. The Bible said before he even got to the court, he said, God said, get back in there and tell Hezekiah, I'm going to add 15 years to it.
Amen.
And the preacher goes back in, opens the door and said, good news,
Hezekiah.
He said, I got some news for you. He said, God told me before I got out of court, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. I'm going to heal you.
Yeah.
Well, Hezekiah, with that bull, and with the sentence of death on him, he says, you don't say. And he said, I got to have some proof. He said, I got to have some proof. I'm going to tell you, this is some serious business right here. This is sounds too good to be true. The preacher's coming in. Hezekiah, knowing his sin, and he said that the Lord had heard his prayer, saw his tears, and he tells the preacher to go back in there. And the preacher said, God's going to heal you.
Yeah.
And he just got through telling him. Now the conversation is up here somewhere.
Yeah.
And Isaiah's right here.
Yeah.
Hezekiah's here. And Hezekiah goes in. And preacher said, I love you. He said, but I need to know more than that. The Bible said, Hezekiah said, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? He's been laying here sick with this boil now for a long time.
Yeah.
And Hezekiah tells him he's going to church in 3 days.
Yeah.
Or Isaiah says, you're going to church in 3 days. And Hezekiah is saying, don't believe a word of it. He said, what's going to be the sign that I'm going to know that I'm going to be able to go to church in 3 days? Wouldn't you like to know that you was on your deathbed and the preacher come in and said, don't worry about it, 3 days, you're going to get up and go to church?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you'd have to, when he leaves, when that preacher walks out the door, you're going to say, that ain't what the doctor said. The doctor said, I'm going to die in 3 days. But he said, I'm going to go to church in 3 days. He said, show me a sign. He said, the sign shall be this, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? You tell me, Hezekiah, which one do you want? Backwards or forwards? Hezekiah said, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. He said, nay, but let the shadow turn backward 10 degrees. Now Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz.
Yeah.
Scientists said,